Hi, my name is Eric Edwards. I played Pearl on the phenomenal movie Blade, and this is the Vampire Movie Minute.
Right.
Yes.
Good morning, evening, and night, everybody. My name is Loz Cadman, and I am the indie author of the Midnight Devotion series. I am based in the United Kingdom. And welcome to the Vampire Movie Minute podcast. And today we are going to be talking with 70 to 75 minutes into the movie Blade from 1998.
I am your host, Dr. Chris. Yeah, and we begin these minutes with Frost calling human cattle.
Indeed we do, and it's quite a good metaphor to describe humans, because essentially vampires see humans as food and nothing more. And not just that as well, but they believe that the humanity is just going to end either way, either, to quote Frost himself, either by plague, war, or famine.
When Blade shoots at Frost with the slow-mo bullets, this is a year before the Matrix would do the whole slow motion bullet time.
Indeed. And even then, he still somehow misses him entirely. At first, it's because that Frost is indeed a vampire, so they are quick to be able to dodge anything. But even after the fact that he tried to attempt to fire the bullets, he still misses him whilst he's running away after yeeting a child, bear in mind, which I want to say, as soon as he just throws that child, it's just completely just left unscathed, aside from glass in the hair, like no scratches or blood or anything like that of the sort, just thrown it onto the concrete road.
Yeah, and also Blade shooting into an open crowd is pretty senseless and dangerous.
Exactly. Like, I expect, like, this is the sort of thing that just happens in everyday America, but the fact that, like, people are just running around, but then you've got some people that are kind of just walking by and just not doing anything about the fact that there is a grown man holding a child, an Asian child. Also, the fact holding the Asian child in the palm of his hands in a way that I'm pretty sure would snap her neck. And yet no one's doing anything about it. It's like, okay, so we've got two guys here. We've got one that looks pretty sickly and holding a child on its head. And we've got another man just standing there wearing a long leather jacket and suspiciously looks like he's wielding some weapons inside that trench coat of his. Yeah, but it's just, it looks like everyday America.
They switch over to the warehouse and Karen's talking with Whistler about gene therapy. And Whistler makes a point that being a vampire is part of Blade's DNA. He can't, like, actually, he can't erase that.
No, he was born and raised as, watch, I don't know, I can't recall if they actually call it a vampire in the movie, because they say daywalker an awful lot, but in some vampire adaptations, they do say, I think, vampire, which in my second book, it's very more common to be calling half vampires vampires. So essentially, his blood run is the key to unlocking the blood god known as La Magma. So they are essentially going after this daywalker because his blood is the key and he is the chosen one. And so then we find out that Blade's blood, when he is going through a bit of hunger, if his blood can get depleted to the point where it could end up harming him. So he is essentially going through some sort of like injection to help him adjust to his thirst. But it does not last forever, unfortunately.
The vampires find Blade's lair.
Which I must ask, how did they find the lair? Did they sniff him out? Like, did they use his scent? Like, how do they find it?
It's never explained. I mean, it's not like they follow anybody. My only assumption, it's like in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they probably do follow somebody. That's my only assumption, is that they followed Blade, somebody followed Blade and then reported back to Frost. Because they never explain it, so.
No, like, it sounds nitpicky, but, like, as soon as he was, like, find you, and I'm like, okay, but how did you find him exactly? Like, The only thing, like you said, they could have had someone come back and report, but you'd think they'd show that. But it's either that or they sniffed out the scent to find it when he was confronting him in the middle of the park. Because I'm guessing that daywalkers have a particular scent as well. Like they have possibly sweat issues or, just smelling like humans as well. Like maybe they just trace his scent to Batalaya. But yeah, they just basically, I was going to say, like, they essentially just like, whiffed him out and just say, right, let's just have like a kind of like a like bat light detection or something that leads like a trail of the wafting to the layer. That's how I see it.
Mercury grabs Karen and Whistler gets shot, and then Frost beats up on Whistler. The 5 minutes end with Blade calling out Whistler's name as he enters the warehouse. So we have like a jump transition from Frost beating up Whistler to Blade entering.
Yeah, and even Whistler's like, go ahead and just bite me, just end my life. And Frost's like, no, I don't think I will. And just, kicks him in the face, gets him all bloodied up, and even just spit on him. Which in the UK, if you just spit anywhere, you will get fined for it, especially in a public place. So that
You
was
get fined for
basically
spitting.
pretty much, yeah. Like, it's become more common now, like, you're not allowed to be spitting in public places like parks and all that. Like, it's very like frowned upon.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, I think it came into effect like 10 plus years ago. Like it was around way after this movie came to be. But yeah, we find spitting very frowned upon.
Interesting. He says, go ahead and bite me, but we learn in the next 5 minutes that Whistler does get bitten because Blade, he commits suicide, so he doesn't turn. And also the bite saves his life because he comes back in Blade 2.
Yeah, I did find that to be quite like strange. It's like, okay, he begs to be bitten, and yet we see Frost spit on him, and then that just says to his goons, like, do your thing. And it's like, okay, so do they bite him then, or do they just carry on beating the crap out of him and then just set him on the chair?
I think they bite him at some point. They have to, so.
Yeah, they probably bit him to keep him alive, possibly.
Yeah, as a message for Blade.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it could be. That could have been how it does it.
Well, that's it for these 5 minutes. Minutes 70 to 75. Find the Vampire Movie Minute podcast on all your different podcast streaming services and outlets. wherever you happen to find it, leave it a rating. Or find me on the social medias for the Vampire Movie Minute podcast, or send an email to thatradioofhorror@gmail.com. Laz, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at cherry underscore rabbit underscore Loz. You can find me on Twitter or X, however you want to call it, on at Loz Cadman. And you can find me on Facebook for Loz Cadman author page. And hopefully this year I'll have a website up where you can tune into my book events that I'll be attending. And hopefully you'll be able to buy my books, Midnight Devotion and its sequel, Tarnished Hearts, on there.
Awesome. And we'll be back in another couple of weeks with another 5 minutes of the Vampire Movie Minute podcast.